Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show.
Well, I think my dog's a Democrat, and it breaks my heart to have to say an ugly thing like that. There's a big old pile of evidence that all points towards the fact.
Parental guidance is suggested.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to the Disrespect Trucker Radio Show. I am your host, Jeremy Johnson, and... Yeah, shit's about to get real tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I am here with my co-hosts, Chris Bikerson and Daryl Gibbs. Chris, how the hell are you doing tonight, my brother?
You know, I'm still driving, and they closed the road on me with no warning. And now I'm just sitting here trying to figure out how the hell I'm going to get myself out of this jam.
Well, that's kind of fitting for America. They kind of took away your Constitution without telling you about it either. So good luck with that. I mean, we've been through this shit before. Daryl, how you doing, my friend?
Oh, man, I'm doing good. I'm over here just still recovering from this rotator cuff surgery. And, you know, the doctors are like, well, you can't go back on the road. And I was like, well, you got until March 7th. Because the 8th, I'm going back on the road, whether you like it or not. Brother broke. I'm poor.
Yeah, I hear you, man. You know, I do see somebody else is on tonight. Her name is Kim. And if you guys don't know, for our audience, Kim is from Canada. Kim is our producer. And Kim does a lot of stuff in the background for the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. And I want her to say hi tonight. And I'm going to give her a heads up that I'm saying this. If she doesn't get on, that's okay. But I do want to let you guys know about Kim. And Kim does a fantastic job for the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show in the background. And Kim, how are you doing tonight, sweetheart?
I am doing just fine. Thank you very much. And hello to Chris. Hello to Daryl. I'm glad to hear you're mending. And hello, of course, to you, Jeremy. So very glad to be a part of the show and excited for tonight.
Good. I'm so glad to hear your voice back on the show. I know you've had some conflicting issues here in the last couple of weeks. And,
yes.
and like I've always said to you, it's okay. That's life. We get it. And I'm really happy to hear you back on the show.
Well, it's frustrating on my end because it seems to always hit day afternoons or Thursday early, you know, late evening or early evening before the show. And it's like, oh, for the love of God, like enough. So, yeah, it is frustrating. But, no, I'm glad to be back.
You don't know. We're very happy to have you back. And I'm glad to have you back. And I hope everything is doing good for you. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go right into a rant before we get to it. We have a hell of a show lined up for you, by the way. Me and Chris have been working on this this week. We have somebody that was actually at Donald Trump's rally on January 6th. They're going to come on and share their experience with us. We also have new evidence coming out of the released 14,000 hours of the January 6th footage that Kevin McCarthy released to Fox News, to Tucker Carlson. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to get in-depth with that, and we're going to talk about numerous other things tonight, and it's a lot of truth is going to come out tonight, and it's going to blow your mind, and if you don't think we're telling you the truth, I invite you not to listen anymore. Because I really don't give a shit at this point. I have had enough. I'm one American that have sat here and watched in the shadows and watched this clown show continue with Joe Biden and his cronies and the federal government and the FBI that has been weaponized against this country and political opponents. You look at what's happening with Dr. Scott Jensen in Minnesota. You look at what's happening with Donald Trump. And everybody says, well, that's because he's guilty. No, that's because your federal government, we are under attack. If you haven't realized it yet, you should get out of politics because you're too fucking stupid to understand what's going on. We are under attack by domestic terrorists. And our military has, they made a statement. They took an oath that they would protect this country. They would protect this Constitution from domestic and foreign enemies. And we're watching it. We're sitting back and we're doing nothing. Why? Because, unfortunately, this country is full of pussies. And there's my statement. And now I'm going to get to something before we get to our caller. I know I'm being very bold and I'm being very up in your face right now. And it's probably not forthcoming of me. I don't give a shit. I want you to understand something. I want you to ask yourself a question. What is a real president? What is a real president? What defines a real president? Is it Donald Trump? Is it Joe Biden? Is it Obama? Is it Clinton? Is it Jimmy Carter? You know what a real president is? A real president protects your borders. A real president makes sure that all Americans are doing well. They're not paying an absorbent amount for anything, really, including gas, including diesel, including rent, including energy costs. A real president fights for this country and makes sure that we're energy independent. A real president will fight for the American people, not for the Ukrainian people. Which brings me to my point. Donald Trump announces that he's going to East Palestine, Ohio, where the train derailment happened, and they have massive pollution. Now, Donald Trump's the next president, ladies and gentlemen. As soon as he announced that, 2 hours later, FEMA announced, hey, we're going to send help. Oh, 3.5 weeks later, after Trump announced that he's going to go there? Is that trying to save face? This morning was the first time that our Pete Buttigieg, the Department of Transportation head, showed up in East Palestine, Ohio, for the first time after 3.5 weeks of people being polluted by a train derailment. Where was Joe Biden when Donald Trump showed up in East Palestine, Ohio? Where was Joe Biden? You know where he was? He was in Ukraine. He was falling upstairs going up to Air Force One. He was falling downstairs. He was jibber-jabbering to Polish people in a Polish press conference. That's what you guys that still support this dipshit, that's where your president was. You know where America's president was? In East Palestine, Ohio, bringing food and water. Oh, it was Trump water. That company ended in 2010. You didn't even look to see where did that water come from that he brought. It was manufactured in 2021. Yep. Apparently, that company hasn't ended. And it doesn't expire until later on in 2023. And you criticize President Trump for going and helping the people of East Palestine, Ohio. Meanwhile, you don't see a fucking word about the person you voted for, the failure that is in office right now, the failure, the tyrant that is in office right now. Because, God forbid, you admit that you're fucking wrong. I told you I'm going to start this show off a little bit differently tonight, and I intend to, because I'm pissed. You have allowed tyrants to take control of your federal government and convince you with the media that they're here for your best interests. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that they're not here for your best interests. So, now that we have that covered, the first few minutes, I want Chris to be able to weigh in, and I want Daryl to weigh in. And you know what? I would love for Kim to weigh in also, because Kim is in Canada, and she's been dealing with a tyrant with Justin Trudeau for a very long time. And I think it's time for the world to hear the truth, not Jeremy Johnson's opinion, not the disrespected trucker's opinion, but the truth, and let it out. Now, of course, this is just my opinion. This is my thoughts. These are my thoughts. This is my radio show, our radio show, where we are allowed to get out and say whatever it is that we have to get off our chest. So with that, I want to go to Chris. Chris, what's your thoughts on what I just said? And if you don't even have to respond to that, give your own thoughts, what you feel is going on in this country right now.
All right. Well, after backing the truck up on a country road, two-lane in the dark for almost a mile before I finally hit a parking lot just big enough that I could squeeze into it and bust a U-turn, I'm finally turned around and taking an alternative route. So I kind of heard you bashing on Biden there a little bit. From what I heard, you know, can't say I disagree, you know, but there's been all kinds of things going on. I do believe the country's under attack, but I got to tell you, some of it's not as bad as it seems. And, you know, a good indicator of that, a good thing to back up that statement, is the whole deal with the Y-12 uranium facility. Have you heard about that one?
I have not.
Okay, so there were some press reports running around Twitter this morning about, there's a uranium compound on fire at the Y-12 uranium facility. Yeah, I think the headline on that said America is under attack. And, well, that really got my attention, because the project that I'm working on right now, I literally deliver to the next lot just west of the Y-12 uranium facility. So you're telling the audience
and you're telling us that you literally delivered basically next door to another potential environmental hazard.
Yes. Yes. For those not familiar with the Y-12 facility, it's been called the Secret City out there in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. What happened was during the Manhattan Project, which is where the government, the U.S. government, designed the atomic bombs, the first atomic bombs that were dropped on Japan to end World War II, they had built what looked like a factory. Rather than doing this work at a military base or anything like that, they picked a spot in the middle of nowhere, Tennessee. They built what looked like a civilian factory compound, and then they built normal, everyday American-looking subdivisions nearby. But everybody that worked at these factories were actually government employees, and they were on a secret mission, and each of them was playing a specific part in the process of developing these nuclear bombs. And so the Y-12 facility was where they enriched the uranium that was used in the warhead. And that facility is still there today. And, yeah, I deliver right next door to it. So I made some phone calls and was like, hey, just saw the headline that there's a fire at this place. And I got told that, you know what, relax. What actually happened is they have the laboratory where they work. They still do research projects with the uranium. And basically, they were testing some reactions, small scale, in a laboratory setting, but they had one reaction that did create a fire that was just big enough that the flames went beyond the fume hood where they work. And by federal law, as soon as those flames get beyond the fume hood, they are required to pull the fire alarm. So they pulled the fire alarms. They immediately got the fire contained before the emergency response even got there. But that didn't stop them from evacuating the entire facility, all the emergency vehicles showing up, and it making its way out to the press. And so that story has been ran somewhat as another alarm story, like it was on the same scale as the derailment in Ohio or whatever. But this was actually a minor event and basically no cause for alarm, which is good because that does not interrupt the, you know, it does not interrupt the project I'm working on. So I can continue to make deliveries up there, which is good.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of things going on in the country right now, and has been going on for quite some time. Daryl, I'm going to get to you here in a second, my friend. I do see our guest has called in, and if you're listening, guest, we will get to you in a few minutes. I do have to explain a few things. Kevin McCarthy agreed if he would become Speaker of the House that he would release the remaining 14,000 hours of the J6 tapes. And there was rumor earlier this week that he was not going to do that. And it turns out that he actually released those tapes to Tucker Carlson. And we're seeing excerpts of that now, which I, you know, said about earlier, and we're going to get our guest on here shortly to so you can hear her side of the story, because it's important to hear the truth firsthand, not from media, because media has lied to us. It's so incredibly obvious at this point that our media has lied to us. And before we go to our guest, I want to go to Daryl. Daryl, what do you think about what we're about to hear tonight from a person that was actually on the ground on January 6th?
It's about damn time. You know, the media has been lying to us all this time. First, they said the police officer were killed. Found out he wasn't killed. You know, he died of other causes, had nothing to do with the riot. And then, also, it's not an insurrection, people. Insurrection is when they try to overtake the government with guns, with weapons. They're trying to overtake the government. They wasn't trying to overtake the government. They were being stupid. All right? It's a riot. Just like Black Lives Matter, when they did that
crap. Were they being stupid or were they being provoked, Daryl?
They were both. It was both. Because you can see videos that show some of the people, some of the officers, and there's people saying, hey, go this way. You see it there. You cannot fake that. They're telling people go this way. They're opening. You show them where they're opening gates or moving barriers so the crowd can go that way. And then I can't think of this guy's name, but for some reason he aggravated and told everybody they need to go. But then all of a sudden, and you saw him seen him being covered. I think it was by CNN or some news media, and then all of a sudden he disappears. And you haven't heard from them. And then most of the people that end up being up in this, that caused this riot, and let's call it what it is, it's a freaking riot, that most of them, they weren't even Trump supporters. You have people that had their own agenda. You have Black Lives Matter in there, you know, who were faking the funk. You had you had some of those nutcases in there. And so, and I'm not going to say there wasn't any Trump people in there, because of course there were some, but majority of the Trump people, they stayed out. So, and now you sit up here and you listen to all this mess that's going on. You had, you know, they're not going to cover the part of, you know, that someone who was in the military, she died there. They're not going to cover that part because it's a civilian. You know, it doesn't go with their it doesn't go with their stupid motive. But yet, how come no one is sitting here saying, "Wait a minute, we're going to talk about this, How come we're not talking about the riots started? How about this? How come we're not bringing up Nancy Pelosi when they said, hey, we're going to need the military here? And she said, what? No. But then after a while, when the military comes, they treat them like shit. They put them where? In a fucking parking garage and gave them some fucked up food. And did you hear them say sorry? No. This whole thing been nothing but a sham. And the way they have done this, when they capture some of these people and what they have done to them and took away their rights, you people in America, you need to get off your butts. You ought to start getting a little pissed, because if they can do that to these people, they can do it to you.
They'll do it to you.
You need to start damn straight. So I'm glad we got somebody on here that's going to say something. And y'all need to listen up. And all you people that sit back and don't think you got to say in your mouth, oh, well, it's Trump, blah, 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 blah. You know what? Quit blaming your stupidity on Trump. All right? You voted this wacko nut job, this bigot Biden in, and the only thing you can do is sit back and blame Trump. You know what? You weak-ass motherfuckers, stop blaming Trump. Blame the person that you put in power, who is a weak-minded individual, and we all know Obama is behind his ass anyway, and we start listening to the truth. Okay, we have somebody on the show.
I got the guest on here, Daryl. I don't want to interrupt you, but I have to get to that guest, but I want Kim to weigh in because she's in Canada. She has dealt with Justin Trudeau and the Canadian Parliament and how they have handled the Freedom Convoy. And I want to make sure Kim gets a couple minutes before we get to our guest to make sure that we can see things in perspective as far as what is going on, not only in America or Canada, but all over the world. And Kim, if you would, please mic yourself up and come on here and give us a couple minutes here of what you've seen and what you've witnessed in Canada.
Well, we had an incident, I think it was 3 days ago, where in Ontario, you know that our gun laws are much different than your gun laws, where a group of five men broke into a home with a single mom and her 22-year-old son, who is a legal firearm owner. He shot one of the intruders, killed him. The police came. They managed to catch one of the suspects. The other three are still at large, as far as I know. And now this 22-year-old is up on charges for killing this intruder.
So what we're witnessing is setups by the government, federal agencies, both in Canada and America. And would you agree with that statement, Kim?
Oh, well, they're after our guns right now. They tried to amend a bill and pass it through to go after certain guns. It did not pass through, so now there's only certain ones. There's a total freeze right now on any kind of restricted handguns. You cannot buy or transfer your handgun if you own one. And it just, I don't know, it's annoying. It's annoying to someone like myself, who's always come from a family of legal firearm owners, because we've always done things the right way. And now it's almost like, you know, hunters and farmers are being penalized for having guns that they need to protect their land. And hunters, that's how they feed their family. The other quick note, because I know I've only got a few minutes, the other quick note is, did you hear the Russian defense official died after falling from her St. Petersburg Tower window?
No.
Yeah, that was on, I think, the 15th. I meant to text that in the thing. Yeah, she was a top Russian defense official, and she was found dead after apparently falling from her 16th floor high-rise apartment in St. Petersburg. They're suspecting suicide. Or they've ruled it a suicide, I believe.
She didn't happen to have an electrical cord around her neck hanging from a tree with a shotgun wound to the chest. With no gun found,
did
she?
I heard that today. No, not that I know of, but I heard that one too today.
Okay. Just checking, Kim. And thank you for weighing in. Before we get to our guest, I want to just bring up one little small thing. I'm going to let you think about this and let this resonate while I go to our guest here shortly in about 30 seconds. There was a Clinton person that was associated with the Clintons, closely associated with the Clintons. He was found hanging in a tree with an electrical cord hanging around his neck with a shotgun wound to his chest with no gun at the scene, and it was ruled a suicide, ladies and gentlemen. That's not nothing new. There's been numerous people that have been associated with the Clintons that have had two gunshot wounds to the head with no gun found at the scene, but ruled a suicide. You better wake up to what's going on, and I think our next guest is going to shed some light on how dirty our government really truly is. And we're going to see a lot more about that with the 14,000 hours of video that has been released to Tucker Carlson. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to bring on our next guest, and for her safety, I am not going to say her name because I don't want her persecuted or prosecuted in any way for sharing her story, even though she was just there at Donald J. Trump rally on January 6th. And on that note, I will bring our guest on. You are on the air live and uncensored. And first, let me just say thank you for joining our radio show. And you and I kind of got off, we started off on the wrong foot, but here we are.
We did. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, so thank you.
In the interest of being transparent and truthful, I'm going to call you caller. I'm not going to call you your name because I don't want to put your identity out there because I think it's important to protect the truth. And I don't want you to be harassed, and I don't want you to be persecuted or prosecuted for what you're about to tell us. First of all, I want the audience to know how you and I met. And it wasn't under the best circumstances, but you know what? Here we are. And so if you would, out of your own mouth and your personal views, how did we meet and how did it go after, you know, through, bring us through the process.
The way that we met is there's a group out there who was, has a lot of questions about how the convoy and then what was left of the convoy is now currently being run. And so there's a lot of questions about who put so-and-so in charge of money or when did this person come in? Did you know that this person was with an organization? And there's just a group of people who want to know these things. And one of them came to you. I don't really remember what the tweet was that you put out, but he came to you and made a comment. And I thought that that would be the time to go ahead and ask some pertinent questions. And you actually answered me, which was odd because most people I ask things or direct things to, they don't really answer back. And I didn't come at you with, like, any grace. I really came at you with everything I had. So later I did feel bad, but you did answer. You were gracious enough to answer, and I realized that you were not – the person that we're looking for. I think what they're looking for probably is farther down the line. I don't think it's convoy.
Yeah,
I really think that it's the 1776 RM is what I think they're really trying to dig into. But because it started
probably,
at the convoy, that's why they reach.
I wouldn't disagree with you on that. I did respond to your questions. And I said, you guys, you're barking up the wrong tree, if I remember that right. I said, here's private message. I will share my phone number with you. And you can call me, and you can ask me any question you want, and I will be completely transparent and truthful, which I was. And me and you talked for, I don't know, about a half hour. And then you let me know that you were at J6. And I'm like, would you be interested in coming on a radio show? Because I think it would be interesting for our listeners to hear exactly what you see, which is what I want to jump to right now. How we met and what happened, to get to this point, I mean, it's relevant, but I also want our listeners to know that I've been accused of wrongdoing a lot in the last year, And I have tried to defend myself a lot also. And I'm done defending myself. I don't need to defend myself. I'm not guilty of anything. And I want to be transparent, but I don't want to sit and waste my time defending myself. And everybody that knows me knows that I'm not up to, you know, bullshit. So let's jump right into your experience with J6. When you went to January 6th to the Trump rally, and what was your reason to go to that rally when Trump had the, it was, I believe they labeled that Stop the Steal. Am I correct?
Yes, I believe you're right about that. Yes,
okay.
What made me go was,
so,
go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me just have to do this every time we have a guest. We have a delay where it sounds like I'm trying to interrupt you, or I can assure you that I'm not. It's just that delay that it really messes us up. But I apologize, but go ahead and continue with your story.
Okay. What made me go there was leading up to the election, I saw things that I didn't like, and I was hearing things that I didn't like, such as leaders of the military saying certain things about removing President Trump forcefully if they had to, and things like Nancy saying, it doesn't matter who votes, it matters who counts the vote, things like that. And I'm just picking up on these bad vibes into the lead up to this election. And then I see how it goes, and I just don't believe it right off the rip. You didn't have to convince me. I saw it for myself, you know. So I'm there to stop the steal, essentially. I don't believe that a lot of people's votes counted. And I wanted to stand up and be heard, or at least to be seen. And I felt like everybody should have probably sent at least one person from their household just to represent at that moment, just to show them. You know, I didn't anticipate any trouble. I didn't think I was going to take any trouble there. You know, that was not the main thing. We just wanted to gather, be seen, and be heard.
Right. And, you know, before we continue on with the story, I want our audience to, because of truth and transparency, I don't even know if I told you this, caller. I'm going to call you caller. I was anti-Trump. I was a Democrat. I was a liberal, bleeding heart liberal. I was, you name it, I was that, yes. In 2020, I'm not going to get into the whole story. I changed my whole viewpoint because I've seen things. I went from being a Democrat and a bleeding heart liberal to being kind of an asshole, if you want to call it that. But I am a constitutionalist. I believe wholeheartedly in our Constitution. And what I seen happen on January 6th, it disturbed me because I seen very plain and clear that our government had weaponized not only the Capitol Police, but the FBI and other organizations to instigate something to make Donald Trump look bad in order for him not to ever run as president again. They are still working on that. They do not want him to become president again. And I wanted to explain that to our audience because I believe in truth and transparency, and you don't have to like me for what I believed in or what I tell you the truth. I'm telling you the truth.
No, we did talk about that before you. Yeah.
Yeah. And I you know, here's where I want to go with this conversation. When you were at that Capitol riot, the Donald Trump rally. Sorry, I got the R's mixed up. I do that sometimes. when you were at the rally, at what point in time did you notice that something was off, and what made you think that something was off?
The first time I realized something was off was, if you've ever been to a Trump rally, the chants just bounce off the walls. Everybody's involved. They go really far. It seems like it never ends. We tried to get chant after chant after chant going, and it would just stop at a certain point. And we didn't really think about it at the time. That was an afterthought. But at the moment, what we noticed was people walking through the crowd with really big flags saying things like, "You Trump supporters are awesome." You know, just things that just seemed really out of place. They seemed out of place. A lot of masks, a lot of different colored hair, which is neither here nor there, you know. But when there's enough of them, and yeah, when there's enough of them, you start getting suspicious.
It sounds like the video that just came out about Ray Epps, that they actually have video of Ray Epps actually throwing a very large Trump sign onto the Capitol Police. And
yeah,
for our audience that don't know who Ray Epps was, Ray Epps is said to be an instigator of the January 6th, quote-unquote, insurrection. He was never arrested. He was never questioned by the FBI, which makes all of us question whether he is the FBI or he was a paid instigator, which I truly believe he was. But that's neither here nor there. Again, we here on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show want to share the truth. We want to share firsthand experiences and witnesses of different events that we cover. So when you talk about masks and different colored hair, people right away, oh, yep, see, she's not being anything. We all know, our caller and me, Chris, Daryl, Kim, that the MO of the Antifa is wearing masks to cover their identity and different colored hair. That's not a secret. Those of you that have not studied Antifa, we understand that you don't get that. We do. What did you witness while you were there? You were telling me some stories when I talked to you, when I called you after our Twitter posts and our little, you know, whatever we had there, and I told you to call me, and I called you back, and we talked. You had some very interesting stories about what happened to you at January 6th, and would you care to share with our audience what happened that you shared that story with me? What happened to you that really made you realize, holy shit?
When we were at the when we first arrived at the rally, there was a group of us of 12. There was a group of 12 of us that went together. And somebody just joined our group as soon as we got there, as soon as we touched the lawn. We didn't know this person, you know. And you don't make – I didn't want to make – nobody in our group wanted to make a scene, I guess, so we just kind of let him straggle with us. That was odd. Later we find out this person has a piece on him. Nobody mentioned it to me in the moment. I don't think anybody really wanted to startle the rest of us, but there was a few in the group who knew that he had something in his pocket. The second thing really that opened my eyes was before the rally started, a couple, a man and a woman, approached our group and told us that the plan was to go inside and they were going to put women out in front as they went up in the building. And we turned our backs on them because we just thought no patriot would ever use women as shields. This doesn't feel right. And, you know, we just weren't down with that. That was not our plan for the day.
Yeah. When you told me that, it made my hamster wheel in my head spin a little bit.
Yeah, so there was more.
And I say hamster wheel because, listen, I'm not above any of you guys. If you think I think I'm smarter than any of you, you're dead wrong. I'm just a guy. I've been afforded the opportunity to have a radio show on Blog Talk Radio that we appreciate, and I got a really great group of people that I'm surrounded by that we bounce off ideas off each other's heads. And when you told me that, I'm like, holy shit. Like, it wasn't just like 4, 5, or 6 people that were instigating that crowd. It was hundreds, maybe even thousands, because there was a crowd of, I believe, 1 million people there. And
yes,
I just watched the video tonight. I don't know if you've seen this video, caller, but there was this really short, I'm going to call him what he was, and I don't mean this how do I say it? I don't want to put somebody down for being overweight, but there's a short, chubby guy. He was very obese. I hate having to describe people, but I have to describe him that way because that's what he was. He obviously was not a Capitol Police officer. Jesus Christ, if you thought he was a Capitol Police officer, I could convince you that I'm the Pope. I mean, that fucking guy did not belong where he was. But he had a gun with those grenades, those shock grenades, and he shot it into the crowd for zero reason. This is part of the 14,000 hours of videotape that has been released to Fox News, to Tucker Carlson, that the public hasn't seen yet. And the public won't see unless they watch Fox News, because CNN, they're not going to report on it. MSNBC ain't going to report on it. ABC, NBC, they're not going to report on it. You know why? Because it destroys their fucking narrative. It proves that they've been lying for the last year and a half, 2 years.
Yes,
but
we were all peaceful. We were all peaceful on the lawn until we started getting gas for no reason.
Yes, I seen the video. This
and
guy
what was
that
odd
shot that,
too,
what's
what
that?
Was odd too was, I guess they were, you know, again, they were more prepared than we were. They must have had a plan ahead of time.
Of course,
but
they
that
did. Yes.
People were like, people were tossing Mountain Dew bottles because the Mountain Dew bottles looked the same color as the gas that was coming at. You know, it was like an optical mind fuck that, like, they knew that we weren't going to be able to necessarily tell the difference between these two things. And I just thought, they're just adding more chaos. They're adding more chaos.
It's funny that you say that, because there's actually video out there from Capitol Police that said, when we shoot one of those grenades into the audience, yeah, we get one, but it pisses off 10 more people and aggravates 10 more people. We're just, all we're doing is angering them. That's an actual video from a Capitol Police officer. And I'm thinking to myself, how the fuck do you really believe that this was an insurrection at this point? I mean, we already knew all this before this conversation tonight, caller. Me and you knew that. You were there.
Right.
I've watched all the video, you know. So
right.
When I seen this additional video, I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, it's very fucking obvious. But this is
while people were changing underneath the trees.
Yeah. And share that experience before. I want to get to Daryl. I want to get to Kim because I'm sure they have questions. But share that experience first.
We were standing by Alex Jones, right by the stage. I mean, even somebody that I was with actually touched Alex and told him, look, Alex, they're going in. About the same time, people were pushing up the stairs trying to get into the Capitol building. And so from there, he's trying to convince us it's a setup. You don't want this to be the story today. Let's just go. I have a stage in the front of the Capitol. Let's just go over there. Everybody follow me. He was trying to keep the peace, trying to convince people we don't want to do this. This looks bad. They're setting you up, essentially. Come with me. And so we weren't really following Alex, but we kind of were, because we were just straggling maybe behind, taking more of time than he did. He hustled and we didn't. There's just so much going on. And somebody left the group and went to kind of scout out what's the left side of the backside of the Capitol, and came back and said, I don't know what I just saw, but there were people changing underneath the trees. And it was like his eyes didn't really believe what they were seeing. But yeah, definitely
and,
had eyes
and
on that.
And you guys believe that was Antifa?
We believe it was Antifa changing into Trump gear, yes.
Yes. Yeah. And I've seen all that video also. So I don't believe that you're wrong with that accusation or that assumption. Daryl, Would you like to weigh in, or do you have any questions to our caller?
She just verified a lot of stuff I've been saying. All right, I'm not the smartest tool on the block, but damn, I ain't stupid. And that guy's name, who's that guy's name that you said that he may be FBI? What's his name? You said his name. I didn't write it.
Ray Epps.
Ray Epps. Him. That's the one I was talking about because they showed him on TV a little bit, and he disappeared.
Yes, he did.
Ma'am, thank you for coming on and telling us exactly, telling us what you've seen, because right now the media and all this craziness, they don't have people actually who was there, who seen what was going on, that goes against their narrative. So I am so glad that you came on this. And some of you people, you know what? I know there's some of you who are going, oh, but you know what? She was there. You weren't. Okay, if you can suck up to the BS of the media, then you know what? Take a little bit of time out and listen to what she's saying, because what she is saying, what she witnessed, makes perfect if you've seen everything that they've been showing. Thank you very much for doing that. I have much respect for you.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you.
We all share the same sentiment. I want to go to Kim because Kim is. I'll just say this: she knows people in Canada, and we all witnessed what happened with the Freedom Convoy in Canada. And I don't want to give out too much private information about Kim. I do want her to weigh in, though. If Kim, if you would mic up. I'm watching my switchboard. I would appreciate you weighing in. And if you don't mic up, I will move on, because that tells me you don't want to mic up. And I understand why. She's involved with a lot of stuff. But, okay, she did mic up. So, Kim, go ahead and share what your thoughts are.
I'm just going to say this disclaimer. I have two dogs that are misbehaving right now. They both just got sprayed with water bottles. So if the barking starts again, I will just mute myself because they're very large and very loud. My sentiments are the same as Daryl's. I appreciate you so much because in this day and age, with everything going on, no matter where it is in the world, it takes a lot to come forward and share what you experienced, and I have the utmost respect for you for doing so, because it does take a lot, and a lot of people are so scared to speak up about anything.
Absolutely. Thank you.
No, I do. Thank you very, very much, because this is how we get the truth out to people, to let them kind of go, oh, wow. And then they, start using that sponge between their ears, and they go off on their merry little way and start researching. It, even a seed of doubt in someone is something. I'm tired of trying to wake up those that refuse to see anything. So I do appreciate guests like yourself that come on and tell actual events and experiences that they've had.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I agree with you. There's not really much time to drag people to the edge of the cliff and show them how bad off we are. So,
no, there's not. Time is out. So, no. So that's about all I have to say. I'm going to mute myself before they decide to start barking. So I do apologize.
Thank you.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kim. I haven't added Kim on to a lot of her radio shows. I'm trying better. Let me just say that, because I'm the host of the radio show, and I don't always do a good job at adding people on. I get sidetracked and I get a thought in my head, but I think it's important that everybody gets their thoughts out there, because I think different perspectives, it leads to more truth, and it leads to more, people thinking for themselves, realizing that, holy fuck, the media has been lying to us for decades. And that's a fact, ladies and gentlemen. Continuing on with this story, caller, can you tell me, when I was talking to you on the phone, our first conversation that we had, our first and only conversation, What happened to you? You got shrouded in the middle of the street and had to be ushered back somewhere. Is that correct?
When we thought that President Trump had finished his speech, probably 15 minutes before he actually did. He sounded like he was ending it. So we left. That put us in a precarious situation because he wasn't done speaking. And so we kind of left with Antifa initially is what happened. We thought we were marching
without
with
you knowing
our people. Right. It took us probably we got halfway there to the Capitol before we realized the vibe was off. You know, they carry a cloud with them. You can feel it. Again, with the different colored hair, the different look, all the black clothing, the black masks, we start to realize. So we're just watching our back at this point. Nobody's really doing anything, but, that was something. I think that's when we realized how many of them there were then. You start to see the number a little bit more as you're going down the street. And we tried to stop at a few buildings, but then were ushered down the street. Like people would come out of the buildings from, say, the Supreme Court building or, you know, these official buildings, and their guards would come out and just tell us to keep moving, just to keep moving. It was like I felt like we were being kettled almost.
You felt like you were being pushed by an outside entity. Is that how you felt?
Go, keep going, keep going to the Capitol. We want you. Yeah, it felt like they wanted us at the Capitol. Just keep going. Don't stop here. Keep going.
See, and there's, you know, this is a very good conversation to have because when I went down to the People's Convoy, I had a lot of the same feelings, and we had a lot of run-ins with Antifa. And me personally, not just me, Chris. We've even talked about this on the phone, on the show one night. Me and Chris both received a text message at the same time, a death threat or a threat, and they said, "We see you sitting in your truck, and you know smoking's bad for you." And there was a car sitting off to the right or to the left, and honestly, I don't really think that was them, but I think what happened is they hacked into our phones. It doesn't matter how they got there, but they got there. I received death threats for 6 months. I've gotten videos, text messages from this guy in Austin, Texas, with colorful hair. And I'd have to call my friend Lisa to get his name. But anyway, toward the end of my threats, he actually took a picture of a federal agent with a gun, strapping up and saying, "You know, they work for us, don't you?" Meaning the FBI.
Right.
And this is these are the things that people don't ever see and don't believe me when I tell them. I lived this. I lived this for a very long time. Not only did I live that bullshit, but I had to live wrongful accusations of, you know, embezzlement and all that bullshit involving the People's Convoy when I wasn't involved after a certain period of time. And people move on with their day not even thinking, what does that do to one person? It fucking destroyed me for months. And they don't get that. And they don't want to get it, and they don't give a fuck. I'm here to tell you that, you know what, fuck all of you, because I had to deal with that. You did not. It ruined relationships. It ruined a lot of things in my life because of what people were doing harassing me, and you didn't give a fuck because it wasn't happening to you, not you, but people. And that is why I wanted you on here tonight after our conversation. You can shed a light on what's happening. And before we continue on with this story, I want to say one thing to our audience. You can get on social media you can get on wherever, whatever you feel like getting on and sharing your opinion and sharing your thoughts. But you better fucking remember that there's a person behind the scenes that is being harassed or threatened that you have zero idea about, that you're just taking the public court opinion or, oh, I know this guy or I follow him on social media and I think he's telling you the truth, and you harass another innocent fucking person like myself, like Chris, like a lot of us that were involved with the People's Convoy that didn't have any access to anything after a certain amount of time. You can do whatever you want to do, but you better remember you're just as fucking guilty when you start fucking harassing people and threatening people and accusing them of doing nothing wrong or doing something wrong when they had done nothing wrong. And I want to say for the record, this caller, actually, when I got on the phone with her, she called and said, I apologize. I think I had it wrong. And for that, I want to do it live on air. I appreciate you for doing that. That takes a person of integrity. And for that, you have my respect.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It was just the right thing to do.
And that right there, ladies and gentlemen, the right thing to do. I think we lost that as a society, the right thing to do. It's called integrity. When we all display integrity, we'll all be a lot better off. I can promise you that. So there's my little rant in the middle of this interview, and I apologize to that to the caller. But so after you were surrounded by Antifa, what happened after that?
We all ended up at the Capitol, oddly enough, and by then barricades were down. We didn't know bike racks were barricades or whatever. So all of that was done. Signs were gone. We walked right up on the lawn, and I say the first four people in front of me were basically just marching toward the Capitol with their heads down. But I happened to notice we were marching through a BLM rally of some sort, and they noticed as soon as I had noticed. So somebody kind of looked at me and said, what the fuck? And I just, like, put my head down and just kept marching because I was just like, I'm not going to start anything here. You know, nothing really had happened at the Capitol at that, you know, at that time. When we got closer to the building, I did see people lined up on the steps, pushing up, and like it looked like SWAT kind of trying to force them back down. And we watched that for maybe 10 minutes, and then I said, hey, he's got a weapon out. Somebody pulled a weapon on the people that was pushing up the stairs, and that's kind of where everything started to go haywire.
So in your experience, would you say that there was multiple opposition entities there at the Capitol that day that were demonstrating and tried to involve pro-Trump supporters in wrongdoing?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I don't know about initially, but I do remember, like, after everything was over, and we were trying to leave, we ran into somebody who was trying to turn us back around. He said, Pence stabbed you in the back. He stabbed us in the back. He was a turncoat or something. Go back. He essentially told us to go back to the Capitol, like we were going to go fight for it. I was just like, we're done. We're leaving. So I don't know about anybody being pushed initially. But I just think maybe the environment, being gassed so many times, and, you know, people, when we left, like, our rental place, as soon as we went outside the door, there was people in the streets trying to amp other people up. I saw two men dressed maybe like in National Guard. I don't know. They were camo on the bottom with knee pads, boots, and the whole thing, and maybe a T-shirt on the top. They looked semi-official, but maybe not. But as soon as we come out of the rental, they were in the streets hooping and trying to get us amped up. And, you know, lucky for us, we stayed up the night before, so we were kind of groggy and not really ready for all of that at that point. But I do remember coming out and just being hit with that energy as soon as we left the house.
So, in all fairness, is it plausible to say that maybe our own military personnel, whether they be active or not active, were actually there because they did believe that our election was stolen, and then there was a faction there that did believe that we should do something, that it was our duty to do something to change the results that we've seen, if that's fair to say? Is it plausible that could have happened?
I didn't really get that feeling when I was there. I just felt like we were in it all on our own. Like, we were all in over our heads. Like, they had just as much time to prepare for us as we had time to prepare to get there. You know, while we were trying to, like, organize and get our... They weren't going to feed us and stuff like that. The restaurant said they weren't going to serve us and stuff. So we were, like, making other plans to feed ourselves while we were there and stuff like that. While we were doing that, you know, 2 months ahead of time, they were getting the city ready. You know, I really encourage anybody listening to go to D.C. just for a trip and see what it's like there. I think you would be highly surprised at what the people who live there are like and what that environment is like.
I will agree with that, and here's why. I was there in 2020. We had a trucker protest. We had over 200 trucks at any given time on Constitution Avenue for 3 straight weeks. That was when Trump was in office. Trump actually sent us out gifts twice, once with a presidential seal. I was standing right there when Secret Service gave it to us with hats, said USA, Make America Great Again. The second time I had left already, but he sent out a presidential sealed bag of Hershey's Kisses to every single truck that was sitting on Constitution Avenue. And everybody's like, oh, what'd you get, some hats and Hershey Kisses? But they're too fucking stupid to realize a sitting United States president actually just sent out protesters gifts supporting them. That's never happened in the history of the United States, ever, ever, ladies and gentlemen. It never has happened, never. And it probably won't ever happen again unless Donald Trump gets elected again in 2024. I don't know that. All I can tell you this. When the Secret Service came out the first time with the gifts, with the big, I mean, it was a huge bag full of hats. And the Secret Service walked up. It was like, I don't know, 8:30 at night. It was kind of misting out. And they were in suits. And I thought, oh, fuck, I'm going to jail. He says, who's responsible for this? I said, well, I am. I mean, I was partially responsible at that time. And I just thought, I put my head down. I thought, I'm going to jail. Because the government, the federal government, has gotten us so scared to realize that we can't stand up. You have to remember, we have a constitution. We are allowed to peacefully assemble if we're not breaking any laws, and that's what we were doing in 2020. So when I said that Secret Service officer looked at me and he said, President Trump sees you, he hears you, he wants you to know that he loves you and he supports you. And he wanted to give you a token of his appreciation. And I hated Trump at that time because of the media, because I was a brainwashed idiot. But I looked at that bag, I looked inside it, I'm like, did a sitting United States president just give us a fucking gift? Oh, yeah, he did. And that's what changed my mind. I'm like, something is not right here. The media makes him sound like the devil. But he literally just sent Secret Service out here to give us a gift. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to stop watching mainstream media because they are paid opposition for freedom. They hate freedom. They want you to follow along and be sheep. They want you to fall in line like sheep do. You can do better. We can do better. We are Americans. We're white. We're black. We're Hispanic. We're Chinese. We are every single thing that the media tells you. Oh, you can't follow them because they hate you. That's wrong. We are American, and we need to start acting as such. But Okay, so I went off on a rant again. I do that on occasion.
Well, that's good. That's fine.
Yeah, I get very I'm very passionate about what I believe in and what I stand up for because I know the truth. I've seen it with my own two eyes. I've heard it with my own two ears. And when I talk to you on the phone, it solidified what I've already known, and I'm sure Daryl and Chris too. It's going to take a lot of people like you and me and Daryl and Chris and Kim to stand up and start speaking the truth. And a lot of people are going to go through this process and they're going to hear what we say and they're going to be like, these guys are paid. I can assure you right now that the caller that is on right now did it on her own free will. And correct me if I'm wrong. Did I pay you to come on here tonight?
No, not at all.
Chris,
no, I wanted.
Chris, Daryl, Kim, are you, and you guys can pipe up at any time, Chris, Daryl, and Kim, are you paid to be on this radio show?
No.
No, this is Daryl. Heck no, I'm not paid to be on this radio show. I'm on here because I want to and I believe in what we're doing. And I can take people off.
And
Kim,
yes,
are
no.
you paid to be on this radio show?
No, not at all. At all. No.
Can you explain to our audience what do you do for this radio show that you're not paid to be on?
Babysit you three? No, I'm just kidding. That is my favorite. That is bonus. What does Kim do? No, I'm here on my own free will. I make sure there's such a wide variety of things I do. I do make sure the episode is up on Spotify every single, sometimes the night of the show or the next morning, depending on how tired I am. There's a lot. There's a lot more that I do, and Jeremy and I talk about behind the scenes. There's a lot. There's a lot that everyone's involved in. But we come here.
And why do you do that, Kim? I mean, let's be honest. Let's be completely and brutally honest. Why do you do that, Kim?
Because it is my God-given right to speak the truth, to try to change the path that this world is in at the moment for my child, for his children, for his future, for what I have left of a future. It's the right thing to do. And as I always say to my son, anyone can be a goddamn loser. Try something hard and be authentic for once. You know, have an open mind. Use that brain, that you were given, and think. But it is to spread the
truth. So what you're saying, Kim, is that you believe that me, Chris, and Daryl are trying to spread the truth.
How do I say this? I believe. Well, let's not.
Yeah, that didn't go as far as that didn't go like I wanted it to go.
I know. Let's not talk about Daryl. Daryl's on meds right now. No, I'm just kidding, Daryl. Daryl had an operation before you freak out.
I love you too.
I love you too, Daryl. No, we are here every week, all four of us, every single week, to spread the truth that we have done the research for, that we have actually spent hours investigating, researching. We're not here just to be another National Enquirer. I don't even know if that rag is out there anymore, but we are not there to just because we have nothing better to do. We are all very, very busy people. So, yes, we are spreading the truth. We're trying to provoke people to start thinking, I think is the best way I could say it.
No, and you know what? I'll agree with that. And that's why I asked you your opinion on this. And earlier in your show, I said, you know, we have to get Kim more involved. And I've said this numerous times, but I don't do it. And things don't work out the way, you know, we all want them to sometimes because life happens.
I'm the redheaded stepchild. I am literally a redhead, but I'm the redheaded stepchild you keep hidden in the back closet. I know. It's all good.
No, but your perspective and Daryl's perspective and my perspective and Chris's perspective, it all adds something to this show, and which is why it makes this show special. And then we have a caller on that calls in like tonight that I got a hold of on Twitter by chance because somebody else had the wrong idea about me. And, this particular caller, actually took the time to actually listen rather than think I'm trying to bullshit them. And now this caller understands, okay, yeah, we were barking up the wrong tree, like he said, and agreed to come on this show and share her experience of what she's seen at J6, which I think it's absolutely important that you figure out which radio shows, which blog talk radio shows or podcasts or whatever you follow. You want to follow the ones that ain't going to, like, tell you what you want to hear. They want to ask the serious questions. They want to hear the serious answers. They want to hear the truth. And when you follow somebody that blows smoke up your ass, unfucking follow them, because we don't need any more of that in this country. That's what has gotten this country into the shape it's been, or it is, it's in. We need truth. We need people to think for themselves. We need people to understand that, hey, there are things that are happening right now that we cannot really fully comprehend in reality, and realize that we have been lied to for basically our whole lives. Yes, we've been told half-truths, but for the most part, we have been driven in a direction by a false truth, a narrative, so to speak. And we've all bought into it, and we all have for the most part. And it's not just in America. It's not just in Canada. It's not just in Germany or Australia or the UK or England. It's everywhere, the whole world. There is a group of people in this whole world, and I get it. The world's a big place. Guess what? There's a lot of crooked motherfuckers in this world, too. And it's not just here in America. It's not just in Canada.
No, this is a global issue. And if you do not believe that it is a global issue, then you just go back and stick your head back in the sand. But I think what makes us different than a lot of radio shows in that is, number one, the four of us are all very different people. And sometimes we don't agree on certain things, but we are united for the truth. We are united strong in finding out the truth. And number two, we always welcome. If you don't agree with anything we have said, call us. Let's have a conversation. We have never backed down from anyone calling in, other than that moron who couldn't say anything more than the F word, but whatever. Living in mommy's basement absolutely sucked the oxygen out of his airspace, so we understand where he's at. But, I mean, honestly, we are different than most. We do entertain all sides' perspectives, and we welcome it.
Yes, and we try to do that. And by the way, if you're listening tonight and you have something you'd like to add or question our guest, the phone number to call in, write this down. Are you ready? I'll give you 30 seconds. How's that? I'll give you 30 seconds to get a pen and piece of paper, okay? And if you wouldn't mind holding on, caller, I want to make sure I get this phone number out there so they can, if there's somebody that is listening that wants to call in and ask a question, they can. Before I go to break, for 30 seconds, by the way, it's only going to be 30 seconds. The guest call-in number is 516-387-1733. Press the number 1 once you hear us on your phone. That lets our switchboard know that you want to add to the conversation or you have a question. And before I go to the 30-second break, I'm just going to let you guys know, too, if you call in and you're disrespectful, we will drop your call, because I will not put up with anybody disrespecting anybody that's willing to take an honest question. As long as it's honest, I'm not going to let you disrespect our guests. So with that being said, I'm going to do a quick 30-second break, and then I'll come back. I'll repeat the guest call-in number, what you have to do to get on here, and we'll continue on with the show.
There are folks out here who still take pride in their everyday ride. Low profilers, million milers, chicken lights, and chrome stylers. The ones who do whatever it takes to keep America rolling. Those who know if a job is worth doing, it's worth doing right. Olsnot. Great products for real people. It may not be new, but it's Bolsnot new.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's Bolsnot products. You can pick them up at Petros and TAs, and hell, you can even pick them up at the Hood's truck stop on I-44 down in Missouri. But, hey, Kim, you don't have to come on air, but I see that phone number that wanted to get on here and do their FDFDFFFF is calling in again. But anyway, if you guys want to call in and you have a serious question to ask, could you please, Kim, screen that call? You can call in at 516-387-1733. And once you hear us on the phone, just press the number one. To our caller, I'm not going to put this person on just quite yet, because the last time this phone number came up, they came on and tried to disrupt the show. And me and Chris have high suspicions that this is somebody that doesn't have good intentions, obviously. But we'll wait for Kim to come back on and say, oh, that's good. I don't think it's going to be good, but hey, Chris, just so you know, our friend is calling back. No, Chris might be
okay.
He's kind of in transition.
You're talking about the Mr. Fuck Fuckity?
Yeah. Fuckity, fuck, fuck, fuck. Yeah, Mr. Intelligence himself. I thought it was a government calling us before. I didn't know, but he sure wore the pants. Fuckity, fuck, fuck, fuck.
No, has that been confirmed, that's who's calling, or no?
It's the same phone number. It's 111-111-1111.
Kim, I know Kim was screening. Is that who it is, Kim?
Go ahead and mic up, Kim.
No, it's June from the I just put the name on it.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Yep.
That's our next guest tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. My apologies. I was wrong. I've only been wrong a couple times in my life, but I guess tonight here I am. No, we do have another guest coming on. I wanted to give the opportunity to anybody that had a question about our guest caller that called or that was actually at January 6th. I think it's important that we find the truth and seek the truth and ask questions, and as long as it's done in a respectful manner. On that note, caller, is there anything else that you would like to add from your experience from January 6th before we move on to our next guest?
No, I think we've covered everything pretty much. It was
perfect.
A big old setup.
You know what? Thank you so much for joining us tonight, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart, because, again, it's very important for all of us to hear a firsthand experience. I wasn't there. You were. And it's more important to hear from somebody that was there, not from somebody that has assumptions. And I've always worked that way, and I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to join us tonight on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, I will talk to you soon, and you have a great night.
All right. You too. Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Again, I'm not going to go into what her name is because I don't want to put her in danger of a rogue federal government. I think it was very stand-upish, if that's a word. She, we did not get started on the right foot, but she was very quick to apologize to me based off of the things that happened throughout our conversation. And for that, I will commend her because that's called integrity. And that's where it starts, ladies and gentlemen. So on that note, let me just go over to Chris. And Chris got in touch with, you know what, I'll let Chris explain this to you. And Chris is going to take over the last segment of the show. So, Chris, it's all you.
All right. So I'll just introduce our next guest. Looks like we have June from the, let me get this correct, the Satanic Temple, which is who organizes the after-school Satan Club. And if you've listened to our show for a while, you may remember we talked about them last year. After there was some controversy when they were trying to, or did start a club in East Moline, Illinois, I believe was the location. And well, there was I made some bad communication with arranging to have them on the show that night, and we didn't get to actually have them on. So they are with us tonight, and what brings them back in the spotlight is an incident out in, I believe it was Chesapeake, Virginia, where they had set up a school, an after-school Satan Club at one of the elementary schools out there. And shortly thereafter, the school board received a bomb threat that, interestingly enough, made the statement that the school board was promoting devil worship and that they were allowing, I believe the exact wording was, un-Islamic values to be taught in the school. And so that prompted me to reach back out to them and to see if they would like to come on the show again tonight so that we can talk about that. And so with that, I am going to go ahead and bring June on the air. All right. And let's see here. It's unmuting. All right. June, are you with us?
Yep, I'm here. Nice to meet you guys.
All right.
And,
all right,
thanks
great.
For having
thanks
me on.
For, oh, yeah. Yeah. No, thanks for coming on. So, I've only read a little bit of basically a news article about what happened out there, a couple of news articles about what happened out there in Richmond. But as we talk about often on this show, the story you get from the media isn't always exactly accurate. So what would you like to fill us in on as far as that chain of events with what happened there, or not in Richmond, but in Chesapeake,
right. So before we get started on that, do you want me to talk a little bit about the Satanic Temple and After School Satan Club in general, or do you just want me to go right into what's going on in Chesapeake?
Well, we covered it before as far as kind of what you guys actually do. But yeah, if you could give go ahead and give us like a little 2-minute kind of summary of exactly what it is your organization does.
Sure. So real top level, the Satanic Temple and its members, we are a non-theistic religion. We look to Satan as a symbol, nothing more than that. We do not devil worship, and we do not believe in a supernatural Satan. So having said all that, we do believe in the First Amendment. We do believe that what makes this country amazing is diversity and everybody from different faiths and different walks of life having the same rights and access to government taxpayer-funded facilities. And so when the Good News Club, which is an evangelical club, started going into our public schools back, well, they've been in there about over 60 years, After School Satan Club of the Satanic Temple wanted to offer, members of the Satanic Temple and minority religions an alternative to the evangelical Bible clubs that are in over nationwide. So I came in as the campaign director during COVID, when everything was kind of shut down, especially after school activities. So when they started allowing the after school clubs back in, I started getting, you know, different inquiries from parents across the United States. You mentioned our club in Moline, Illinois. So that was the very first club that I personally launched. And, you know, it got us an interview on Tucker Carlson. So it kind of spread like a wildfire, that first club there. Since then, we have launched five additional clubs, including the club in Chesapeake, Virginia. There is a potential for litigation, so I can't actually speak too much of the details. But what I can speak to is that, you know, we did end up launching our club last week. We are taking place at 6 p.m. at night, and the school district is currently changing their policies so that all third-party organizations within the next 60 days after a vote, it looks like on the 27th, they're all going to be operating at 6 p.m., including the Good News Club. Oh, so,
I have to interrupt, June, and I apologize, but so you basically, in self-admittance, you're saying that you picked the name the Satanic Club in order to gain recognition or some kind of attention from the national news media. Am I correct in saying that?
Oh, I didn't. Did I say that? I didn't say that. We are a recognized church by the IRS.
That's based off of my assumptions, June, and I apologize again.
Oh, you're good. The reason we are called After School Satan Club, because we are a campaign and a club that is sponsored by the Satanic Temple, and the people that run our clubs are self-identified Satanists. So if we were to call it anything else, like the After School Science Club or like the Fluffy Bunnies and Rainbow Club, we feel that that would be,
they are self-identified,
you know,
Satanists, you said? Am I correct in saying that?
Identified non-theistic Satanists, which means we look to Satan as a symbol and nothing more than that. And we do not devil worship or believe in a supernatural Satan.
Okay. If you don't mind, Daryl, can you pop on here? And do you have any questions? I'm sure you do.
I know it's a lot to unpack.
Hello. Yeah.
No, it's okay. The part of learning and understanding is asking questions and having dialogue without being accusatory or calling each other names. Let's have a conversation. And I think it's important that we all are able to get on here and ask our questions. And that's why I call for Daryl. Daryl, go ahead.
You use Satan, right? You said you follow Satan. Correct?
Here's how we look at Satan.
Word Satan.
Satan was the first to stand up to tyrannical authority. That's how we view Satan. But we do not believe in the Satan that the Christian majority faith does in this country. We look to Satan as a different symbol. To us, Satan, it means something completely different.
Well, then why can't you use this for it? Because if you look up Satan in the dictionary or Satan in any other thing, Satan is also known as the devil, also called Lucifer in Christianity. So basically you're saying
sure.
It's kind of like a wraparound on what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, in Christianity, you're right, but not everybody's Christian, right? I mean, not everybody subscribes to that religion, right? Not everybody subscribes to the Bible. Not everybody believes that Satan is an actual thing, right?
All right, but I'm going by you said Satan, and that's what you go by.
Sure.
When I said the definition of it, you know, Satan is also the devil, but later on in Christianity, it's also Lucifer as the name. It's all the same thing.
Right.
There's no difference to it.
Right.
You can go ahead
Satan
and add
devil.
You can,
yeah,
because you make it because you make it seem like it's not part of that, but it truly is. I'm not saying you're a devil worshiper, but then if that's the case, then why don't you use something different? Because just like that,
I hate to interrupt you guys, Daryl. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I am so sorry for interrupting you because you guys were in a very good dialogue right there, but we do have Representative Brandy Bradley calling in from Colorado. She's on right now, and I don't want to waste any more of her time than I have to because she actually is a very busy woman. And so I'm going to bring her live on air, uncensored. Representative Brandi Bradley, thank you for joining us. What would you like to add to this conversation?
Hey, guys, it's so nice to be back. I don't know that I can actually add anything else to this conversation. My mind is blown. I mean, for once in my life, I'm out of words.
Oh, I can keep talking.
Why is that, Representative Bradley?
I mean, as a conservative Christian, I love everyone. I'm just going to pray.
And what is your response to that, June?
I mean, when you think about it, we live in a country where Christianity is the majority, and we have nothing against Christians or Jewish folks or any minority religion that makes up, right, the religious pluralism that makes our country so amazing. And the idea that a religious faith can come and it be based on our seven tenets, which are part of our deeply held religious beliefs, and that in order to have religious privilege in this country and have access to everything that anybody who has religious beliefs has access to, the requirement that you have to believe in some higher power or deity or supernatural being is actually not a requirement under the IRS here in the United States. So even though we don't believe in a supernatural Satan, we do not believe in God, we do not believe in anything, any higher deity, we still have our deeply held religious beliefs, and we look to Satan as nothing more but a symbol. There's a book called Paradise Lost by John Milton, where he really does.
June, I'm going to have to interrupt you one more time, and I apologize one more time. Rep. Randley, I had to mute your phone because there's a lot of background noise. I do appreciate your call. I will bring you on back on as soon as June finishes her explanation, if that's okay. For obvious reasons, I had to mute the mic just so we can understand what June is trying to explain. And I want Representative Bradley to be able to respond. So go ahead and finish your explanation, and then I'll bring Representative Bradley back on.
As modern Satanists, we are non-theistic, meaning we do not believe in a literal or supernatural Satan. We believe that Satan was the first to stand up to tyrannical authority. Legend has it that Satan started asking questions and got booted from heaven. At the end of the day, we look at Satan as the good guy. When you want to, like, you know, do death counts and you want to keep track of who had the temper tantrum and decided to drown the whole entire planet, there's a little bit of a spoiler alert, it wasn't Satan. So Satan was the one that started asking questions. So to us, Satan is that symbol to us that stands up to tyrannical authority, asks questions, and at the end of the day, we fight for religious pluralism so that, you know, maybe not in our lifetime, but 50 years or 100 years or 200 years from now, one thing that's scarier than Satan to us is a government that gets to pick and choose which religious beliefs are acceptable and which ones are not, and which people have, you know, access to that belief and which people do not, and which people have access to taxpayer-funded facilities. So we are there to make sure that is, respected and that it is recognized in our society and that no one religion, swings too far in one direction without having that check and balances in place.
Okay, let me bring Representative Brandi Bradley on back on because she deserves to respond to that. Representative, I apologize for cutting your mic. But you are back on air. Go ahead and respond.
I mean, June sounds like a lovely person. I'm trying to figure out, she's calling God tyrannical because he wanted to absolve all of us of sin, because he wants all of us to go to heaven, because he wants all of our names to be written in the book of life, because he forgives and gives grace and mercy every time we sin. I'm just trying to figure out what's so bad about God, I guess. I literally, my mind's blown. Daryl, what in the world have you got me into?
Oh, well, I wasn't going to get into that one. There was something else I was going to get you into. But to back you up on that, ma'am, you just said this has nothing to do with religion.
Welcome to the Nissan Trucker Radio Show, Representative.
you said it didn't have nothing to do with religion, but yet you cite religion. So in other words, again,
No. I never said
with,
that.
Yes, you did.
I never said that.
Yes, you did.
We are a religious organization.
Hold on. You're a religious organization.
We have deeply held religious beliefs. Yes.
Hold on. You're a religious organization. Am I correct? Okay, then.
Yep.
Then if that's the case, then the devil, you're dealing with the devil. When you're saying tyrannical, let's just put it out there. Quit using another word. It's God. Okay, that's what you're using. And at
the same time, hold on, but then you're
saying God. Which one is it? Is it yes or no? Which one is
what?
It? Yes or no? Because first you said it's not.
What though?
But now you're saying it is. I just said, you said tyrannical, I said God. And so you're trying to say all this stuff is not based on religion, but yet what you're talking about is based on religion, but you're using different words to go ahead and cover it up.
We are not claiming that God is real or that Satan is real. We're claiming that the story has it, that God kicked Satan out. Heaven for asking questions, is that not correct?
He got kicked out because he was going the opposite of what God wanted. He was testing God, and every time he tested God, he was asking questions. And he asked
questions, but then,
thank you. Quit saying tyrannical. Say it like it is. It's God.
He is tyrannical. I mean, this is a God that sits back and watches, his priests have sex with children and does nothing. So you want to talk about tyrannical.
You don't think the devil
yeah.
had anything to do with that?
The
devil was the one that started.
The devil's the one started what?
Around everybody on the entire planet with a little bit of a temper tantrum. It wasn't Satan.
It wasn't a temper tantrum. That wasn't – also, okay, Satan also went on and talked Edom to bite eating the apple. Wasn't that correct? When God even said that is forbidden. Am I correct?
Why would God
yes or no?
make – why would he put them in that – so here's the deal.
You didn't answer the question. You never answered the question. You didn't answer the question.
What was the question?
You didn't answer the question.
I don't know Bible
the
verses. I wasn't
is,
born and raised in
I
a
asked
very
you,
religious
that's not
background.
A Bible verse. Everybody knows about this.
It's very obvious that you weren't born in a religious background because if you were, you would understand what Bible verses mean, and you would understand that you worshiping a false god is not the way to go for your life or to promote anybody's life.
But we're not worshiping.
But yet here you are. And I appreciate you being here, by the way. But I'm going
to
say this.
We don't subscribe to your ideology.
I want you to look up Jeremiah 29:11 tonight. I want you to look that up. You know what? Why? Just for shits and giggles. Look it up.
Baptist preachers that are being moved around the country and covered by the church that are abusing children today as we speak.
So you look that up, and then
I'll look up the Bible verses.
Let me stop you for a second. The Catholic Church, the cover-up of pedophilia by the Catholic Church, that we were all made to believe that was here for God, the Pope, and all that bullshit. I realize, and a lot of people that understand me and have the same views as I do, realize the devil has gotten involved with everything in everything in our lives, including our governments worldwide. I'm going to tell you. I believe that you're pushing an agenda that is a very dangerous agenda, ma'am. If you wouldn't mind, you've told me, and you've self-admittedly said that you have not looked up Bible verses. I have, ma'am.
I don't hate anybody, but I'm going to tell you one thing right now. Like
you
most
are
people that
wrong
have,
with your thoughts
you know, the,
and your beliefs, in my
verses.
Opinion.
I can't quote the Bible verses, but I know enough about the Bible to know that that's okay that you believe that. That is your ideology. That is part
okay.
of what
no,
makes
no,
our
no.
country
So you
wonderful.
Know enough about the Bible, ma'am?
But
give me one Bible verse.
We look to Satan, thou shalt not judge.
Give me one Bible verse
Something
if you
else.
Know enough about the Bible, and I will continue listening.
let me ask you this.
Give me one Bible verse, and I will continue listening. Give me one Bible verse, and I will continue listening. Name one.
Okay, let's see. Matthew 7. Let's see. Matthew 7, 1 through 5.
And what does that read?
Do not judge, or you will be judged. For in the same way to judge others, you will be judged, and with that measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own?
It's kind of
and
funny.
Do you think that particular Bible verse, do you not think that you're breaking that Bible verse by doing what you're doing?
Here's
aren't
the
you
deal.
Judging,
I
aren't
don't,
you judging
I'm not a
Jesus
Christian.
Christ and God?
I'm not a Christian, though, so I don't believe any of this. You can't.
So then why would you
quote
that Bible verse in particular, my question?
That's the one that I know that my dad told me about when I was growing up. He's a non-denominational Christian. My mom was Jewish. So I was raised in a fairly secular household because the two of them thought I should grow up and be able to kind of choose for myself. We have a lot of people within the Satanic Temple that have our church survivors that have been abused in the church that can name 600 Bible verses. They have the thing memorized. I am not one of those people.
So instead of blaming the devil that has actually caused that abuse, you blame it on God, right? Am I right or am I wrong?
Yep. I'm right.
Can I just add something? The very last book in the Bible is Revelation, where they say that Satan's going to come after the churches. So she just answered her own question, that Satan is attacking the churches. We're seeing it. And we were prophesied about that was going to be at the end of the day. So to not think
you
that Catholic popes raping little kids is the devil
is
crazy.
It's not just Catholic
popes.
It's actually Southern Baptist priests that are now, like, number one. But that's
the
point. The point is you guys are Christians and you can believe in your Bible and your holy book, and that is totally fine. We don't subscribe to that, and we don't have to bow down to your ideology or your beliefs. We are allowed to have our own, just like Muslims are, just like Jewish folks are, just like pagans are, just like any other religion in this world. We are allowed to have different beliefs from what you are, and we can call them whatever we'd like. And we can look to Satan as a symbol, and we can think God as a piece of shit, and that's okay.
But don't you think that's part of the downfall to our society?
That what? That people like to do awful things and say,
we've gone away from family values, where we've gone away from morals. Don't you think that maybe the downfall of our society? A downfall of our society was when our government,
when
our government did not prosecute people that were
fucking
children. Hey, ma'am, listen to me for a second, please. Do you not think it was a downfall to our society when our government did not start prosecuting that where people were fucking children, that were raping children in our Catholic fucking church of all things? And America just went, and the world just went along with it because the Catholic Church, which is one of the organization's largest landowners in the world, and they just paid out their dividends. Said, well, you just keep your mouth shut, and nobody has to know anything about it. Nobody was held accountable.
Sure, it's awful.
But now we're blaming it on God?
So
why aren't we blaming it on people that were responsible for it? The devil that was molesting children.
But it wasn't the devil. It had nothing to do with
the devil.
The devil's not real.
Wait a minute, ma'am, hold on for one second. First you said the devil's not real. Then you said the devil is real.
Yes.
Then, hold on, ma'am. Listen to me.
I never said he was real. Can you stop for a second? He is, to me, just like the Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny.
Can you stop for a second and just be quiet for a second? No, you're not. Do me a favor. Don't do passive listening. Do some active listening. okay? Because you've been doing that
okay.
ever since, even when the host was trying to talk
saying,
to you. Now, be quiet for a second, please.
I am not a
Look,
Christian. I do
say,
not
ma'am,
believe
be quiet
the same
for a
way
second.
You do.
Let me speak. Let me speak, okay? Because you like to interrupt when people put you on the spot. Number one, you just said he wasn't for real. Then you said he is for real. Then you said he went against a tyrannical, which you know is God. So apparently he must be real to you. Okay, then you sit back and you said you don't believe
real.
In religion. Hold on, stop. First you said you didn't believe in religion, but then you said that it's part
Darryl,
of religion.
Darryl, I'm not. I'm going to interrupt you for 2 seconds. Darryl, I'm going to interrupt you for 2 seconds.
Okay.
And June, I'm going to bring on another guest. Another caller, actually, not a guest, but a caller. I'm going to mic them up. However, I want Darryl to finish his thoughts with you, June, and then our caller Brian is going to add his 2 cents in. Before I get to back to Darryl, 1 second, Brian, you are on the air. Just so you know, I'm going to let Darryl finish his thoughts, and you can jump in after that. Okay.
Okay.
All right. And like I said, every time you say something, you say one thing, you turn around, you say something else.
June just dropped.
Of course she just dropped. Because the reason she just dropped, because she doesn't want to hear the truth. Because she's been backtracking the whole time. She sits back and says, oh, I don't do religion. But then she does religion. Oh, well, the devil isn't real. But then he's a tyrannical that went, you know, okay, he's a tyrannical that went against God. Okay, he went against God, so apparently to you he must be real. This is the thing that cracks me up about some of these people. They sit back and they say, well, we worship the devil. Just say it, lady. You worship the devil. That's who you worship. That's how it is. And quit hiding behind your damn words because you twist it around every time, and every time someone catches you on it, you cannot let anybody say anything. You try to justify it, and it gets squashed. Thank you very much.
Well, I tell you what, it was very interesting to have Representative Brandi Bradley get on, and she was at a loss for words. It's unfortunate that we lost June. I mean, if you are strong to your convictions, June, and the Satanic Club, you would stay on and ask questions or answer questions and you know, yeah, that. If you are listening, you're welcome to call back in. We'll put you back on air. But Brian, what did you want to add to the conversation?
Well, don't hate me for this, but you guys were missing what she was saying entirely. A little bit of background, if you will. I've studied theology. I don't mean like, hey, I've read the Bible. I mean, I've actually systematically studied theology. I have a degree in it. I am a theist, i.e. I believe in God. More specifically, I believe in the God of the Bible, okay? So there's where my background comes from, okay? Now, the Church of Satan does not believe in a deity at all. They do not, they legitimately do not believe that the devil or God is real. They use it as symbols. They, what they're doing basically is they're using a symbol to say, we think that God is tyrannical, and any overarching structure, if you will, is tyrannical. Now, what she was talking about when she said, you know, the notion that the devil started asking questions, and that's what got him kicked out of the out of heaven. That's not biblical. That's actually that comes from that poem she was referencing, Paradise Lost. But it's Milton. The reason the devil is banished in the poem is because he's asking questions. You can't find that in scripture at all. So what basically ends up happening is they've taken a lot of mythologies and they've taken a lot of stories and, dare I say it, traditions, and they've jammed it all together to make this weird conglomeration. They do actually have a God. It's just not a supernatural God. Their God is themselves. They worship themselves, and they won't – they'll disagree with that assessment, but their entire – premise is do what you want. It's what you want to do. It's a hedonistic religion, and I'm actually glad that she at least said that she belongs to a non-theistic religion, because there's so many people that don't understand religion doesn't have to have a deity. You know, everybody has a god of one type or another. So not trying to defend her entirely. Like I think the entire argument and the entire structure is terrible. But it seemed like you guys were missing what she was trying to get at, if that makes any sense.
Well,
so,
and here's the thing, Brian. I appreciate your honesty. I always do. You know that. You've been on the show numerous times, and you just share your honest thoughts and opinions, and that's what this show is all about. Here's the problem I have tonight, is she referenced, you know, God being responsible for the Catholic priests being pedophiles. I don't think that is entirely accurate. As a matter of fact, I don't believe that's accurate at all. Why blame evil on God for evil doing what evil does? So what's your response to that?
All right. So please understand I'm arguing from their position, not my own, okay? Because firstly, this is my own opinion. To call the Catholic Church Christian is, well, it's an extreme stretch.
Listen, Brian, before we continue on, I want you to understand, too, that this is exactly what is needed for a dialogue to happen for everybody, not just me and you, not just for me, you and Daryl and Chris, but for everybody to understand. We need to have this conversation in order to understand fully what exactly has happened, not only in our history, not only in the present, in our future, but of all time. We need to talk about these things so we can fully understand and get a better understanding of what's happening. But go ahead, Brian. I apologize for interrupting.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that statement and that sentiment. But so the problem is it, when it comes to theism, especially Christian theism, you have this weird problem where if bad things happen, somebody has to be responsible. I mean, we think about that in a common everyday life anyway. If I get hit by a drunk driver, the drunk driver is at fault. If something bad happens, it has to be somebody's
fault.
No,
it's not. It's the bar's fault for serving you too much alcohol.
Well, yeah, exactly. But that's the way our brains work. So what it boils down to is the problem of evil. It's a theological argument against God, and it's been around for long, 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 long before modern atheism. If God is all-knowing, if he's all-powerful, and he's everywhere, why does bad stuff happen? And so you need an answer for that. So if the Catholic priests are supposed to be the representative of God on earth, but not really, but okay, we're going to play along with their terminology for a little bit. And they are responsible for the evil. Therefore, God must be responsible for the evil, because to allow evil to happen and not stop it when you have the power to is just as evil as doing it. I disagree with that argument entirely, but that's where they're coming from. So it's not exactly that she is arguing that it's God's fault. It's more, if your God is so powerful and so good, why didn't he stop it? So it's
very unfortunate, Brian, that she dropped her call without being able to finish this conversation. And I understand from her point of view why she did. If I was in her shoes and I was being attacked from all sides, I would have dropped the call too. So I will defend her in that sense. I still would like to understand. Everything that she was saying was not making sense to me. And again, I understand why she dropped the call, why she hung up. It's very unfortunate again, but here we are. I don't know. I'm really at a loss for words at this point. Chris, if you want to jump in at any point, you're welcome to, man.
Yeah, I'm still transitioning into the house, but it's been an interesting night.
Oh, okay.
That did not go the way I thought it was going to go. But, I almost felt like I was listening to the Jerry Springer show there for a second.
You know, the interesting part about that is we had an actual congresswoman call in who happens to be a friend with Daryl's. And, again, I'll explain it to our audience, and I'll probably explain it to our audience a million more times. Daryl ran for lieutenant governor in Colorado, and he does have some political connections, and I appreciate Congressman Brandi Bradley calling in and sharing her thoughts and opinions. She was obviously busy tonight, but she still took the time out to call in, and I appreciate that. I think it's always important to get everybody's perspective. And again, unfortunately, we lost contact with the person from the Satan Club, and they had a very interesting perspective on what their beliefs are. And Brian is kind of trying to, again, he's not defending them, but he's explaining it, which I appreciate. And I know me and Daryl were, you know, we caught on to certain other things, certain other points that were like, so why'd you say that? Why'd you say this? Why'd you say that? And Chris had different intentions also. And this is a beautiful thing about our show. We are live. We are uncensored. We are raw. And, yeah, raw emotions happen. We get angry. We get frustrated. We get whatever you want to, whatever emotion there is, we have it. It's just very unfortunate that June's call dropped, even though I understand why. And I'm almost positive she hung up, and I don't blame her. So if you're listening, June, no offense to you. I do understand why you hung up the phone. I would have done the same thing. But, Brian, We're getting toward the end of the show, but I do want Brian to I want Brian to share his final thoughts, and then we'll go to Daryl and Chris and Kim and me.
Daryl said something about the fact that, or maybe it was you, Jeremy, that our country is in such a damn mess because we have gotten away from standards, if you will. I am a traditionalist. Not like the Dugan traditionalist, but like American traditionalism. You know, the white picket fence, if you will, the 2.5 kids. And frankly speaking, I firmly do believe that this country would be a hell of a lot better if we went back to that system and so on and so forth. However, I do think one of the strongest points that we have in our country is that we have the freedom to choose that if we want. I have a stay-at-home wife. She doesn't have to work. We are the only people in our social group that one of the spouses stays home. We chose that. Other people chose not to. And I say all that because part of what makes the country what it is because we do have the right to be able to choose what we want to do religiously and so on and so forth. And I support her right, the guest's right to espouse a non-theistic religion such as Satanism, even if I think that it is the wrong course of action. But with the caution that I think that we need to learn how to actually talk to one another and communicate and actually understand what each other is saying, and a lot of that comes down to definitions. So with that, next time you get into a discussion with somebody, define terms.
Well,
shut up and listen.
I can appreciate that, Brian. Thank you for calling in tonight. And again, Brian has disagreed with me about 50% of the time. And we have lost our in this country, we have lost our sense of, you know, not being able to handle somebody disagreeing with you. It's okay for somebody not to agree with you, and which is why Brian continues to call in. And Brian, sometimes he disagrees with me, and you know what, that is good. That's good dialogue. That means that you're having a truthful conversation. You shouldn't agree 100% of the time, because if you do, we're living in a utopia, and that doesn't fucking exist. So
there you have it. I mean, Brian, I've met Brian personally, and Brian's a very reasonable, square-headed person. Square-headed is a good word, right? But no, he's I like Brian, and I appreciate Brian's views on things. And what he said tonight, it made me think, like, okay, not that I was wrong, not that I was right, but he makes you think. And that is the whole point of dialogue. Just think about what you're saying. Think about what your beliefs are. Think about where they were coming from. And he made a very good point. Let's go to Daryl. Daryl, what's your final thoughts tonight?
All right, a couple things real quick. All right, when everybody, I noticed what all these folks are saying, you know, well, why did God let things happen? You know what? Okay, number one, Jesus died to take care of all our sins. All right, God gave you free will. God is a just God, and he's also a very angry God. He let things happen because why? Because we as human beings, we have this thing. It's called, guess what, free will. He doesn't have to step in to intervene on all our free will. And then only thing I had a problem with the young lady, last she came on, the only reason I have a problem with her is when you was trying to talk, then she was talking, and everybody was talking over each other, she just wouldn't let people say what they had to say. And I think maybe she didn't have a defense for it. I don't know. But I wish she didn't hang up. But I hope she calls back again so we can talk more. And then one more thing about Brandy. The reason I wanted her to call, and for all you people in Colorado, y'all need to understand something, that today Representative Brandy and AC-39 installed the following statement regarding Democrats voting against her bill to prohibit foreign adversaries, which we talked about, as a Chinese or Russian national from purchasing farmland in Colorado. It's unfortunate that the Democrats, they did not see the urgency to protect our farmlands being purchased by adversary countries like Russia and China, which is stated by Brandy, my friend, who called in. And that's what I want her to call in about. It's stuff like that that people, you need to start opening up your eyes. Here in Colorado, this is what's going on, and along with the United States, because we have talked about this. And one more thing. You know, Jeremy, he comes on, he said he's trying to be transparent. And, you know, I want y'all to understand that this man, he wants you to understand that he's just being truthful with what he has. He has nothing to hide. And also, when he says he's being transparent, you know, that just means he's really, really, really white. He's so white, he's transparent like Casper. So there you go. Other than that, I'm good. Where's my police
officer? Hold on. Did you just call me really, really white? What the fuck is wrong with you? That's how you're going to finish your show up and call me really, really white?
But this is a good thing. You're still my brother, though. I'm <line of shade.
laughs> Now I'm your brother. Okay. Really, really white brother.
There it is.
Yeah,
I love
yeah.
you, man. I love you. See, people, we can kid like this.
Eat that up, motherfucker. Yes, we have fun on this show occasionally, too. We get heated. We laugh. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we have to experience every emotion in order for us to get the truth out there. And you know what? Yeah, I'm going to overplay it. I get it. But I have to, because here's the thing. You know, Daryl, as a black man, Daryl just called me overly white. And if I said to Daryl, you're being a little bit too black, how do you think the black community would respond to that? They would be in arms. I made a joke out of it. And you know why I did that? Because I know Daryl's heart. Daryl's a good man. And I'm a good man. And Chris is a good man. And Kim is a good woman. We're not here to put you down personally for your race, for your ethnicity. Oh, Jesus Christ. I just butchered that. But you know what I'm saying. We're here because we want to share the truth with you. And have a little fun while we share the truth with you. So don't take offense to anything that we say, including the Satan Club, Satanic Club, or whatever the hell they are. You believe whatever you want to believe in. You know, when Chris called me and he said, hey, the Satanic Club's going to call in, I was very torn about it because I'm a very devout Christian. Do I practice my Christianity? I'm a sinner. I'm not a perfect human being. But I also realize, you know, she brought up a very valid Bible verse. Do not judge, for you too shall be judged in the same manner that you judge others. And for that alone, I apologize to our guest, June. And I did not mean to attack you, but we're all strong in our convictions. And I don't hate you. I don't hate anybody. And I know none of us on the show hate anybody. Well, Justin Trudeau and Joe Biden. But no, I'm just kidding. We have lost our ability to have dialogue. We have lost our ability to stay in a conversation with somebody that doesn't agree with what we say. If you don't agree with what I say, then you're just being an asshole. Well, that's not the case. Brian comes on here on occasion and disagrees with us and me quite often. And Brian brings some very, very valid points. So we can have dialogue without hating each other. So I don't know. I got off on a little rant there. But, Kim, if you would mic up. I see you're still on. I would love to hear your final thoughts of the show and just give me your thoughts and opinion.
Well, first off, I'd like to say thank you, Brian. I agree very much with what he said. If you guys would look at the group text, I was saying, let her finish her sentences. Because, again, even though we may not agree fully with what she was saying, I was trying to understand where she was coming from, and I was trying to hear her points because, and in her defense, we also did not tell her there was a delay, which is something that we really have to get in the habit of doing with our guests when they first come on. And I'm sorry for the dog drinking in the background. But I do appreciate Brian speaking up and giving his point of view. Again, we are all on this earth. There are times we don't agree with a lot of things. I mean, Daryl's black. God, you know, whatever. you know, I love you.
He's always got
my
that
God.
I'm sorry. But no, it's been a good show. I'm gonna get hate mail now. You know I am.
Why? I love
whatever. I know, but correct. You know people will be like. No, but I just it was unfortunate that she hung up, but I understand why she hung up too, and. Yeah, it is what it is. And June, if you're still listening, you know, thank you for your perspective and trying to get your point out. Again, it is one of those things. When you come on to a show like any show, I'm sure any show she goes on, she's going to meet resistance and she's going to meet people challenging her. And it is what it is. But no, great show, guys. Hello?
Hello.
Oh,
I think we're all here.
Jeremy, go.
Oh, there we go.
I'm like dead air. Where is everyone? Did Jeremy drop? I don't know. Anyways, I guess Chris, did you give your final thoughts?
No, I didn't. So I don't know if Jeremy can hear this or not. I just want to remind everybody that in 1996, I was named an honorary brother by the Black Soldiers of Alpha Company, 1st of the 502nd. And that is why Daryl does not call me really white the way he does Jeremy. tonight's show did get a little bit out of hand. That wasn't the direction I was trying to take the show. I was actually hoping to get into a little bit more conversation about the bomb threat out there in Virginia. And the only point I was going to make was that I feel like they misrepresent what they actually stand for, and they do it in a way that kind of provokes an angry response from certain people. And in this case, it seems like an angry response was provoked by someone.
Sorry, guys. American government got on me, and they disconnected my phone and back.
In the middle of my final thought. I feel like perhaps the rhetoric they use and the symbology they use is needlessly putting children in the middle of this game of First Amendment cat and mouse that they're playing with the local governments and school districts. And, you know, now we're evacuating kids. And that was kind of the point. I was looking to take the discussion there, and whether or not their approach to their First Amendment argument was really one that they maybe should be using. Is it really socially responsible? I didn't know it was going to turn into the Satanist episode of the Geraldo Rivera show from 1989. But that's the way it went. And you know what? I don't know. I guess controversy is good for ratings. But that's about it. I'm actually at home. So on that note, I am going to wrap it up and say goodnight to everybody. Thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in. And as always, we look forward to the next one.
Hey, Chris, I appreciate you, brother. You know, not only Chris, but Kim and Daryl, I tend to take over a radio show. I get very heated. I get very emotional. Fair to say that I let my emotions take over my thoughts in some sense. Yeah. I'm very, very disturbed what I see happening to our country right now. Starting with the Satanic Club, if you're still listening, I understand that you are trying to make a point, but don't bring our fucking kids into it. Bringing our kids into it make you no better than the LGBTQ plus community, the transgender pushers, trying to cut your breasts off at the age of six. You know, go fuck off. Real Americans are really tired of your agenda. And honestly, the LGBT community is really fucking tired of you hijacking something that they worked so hard on getting acceptance for. It took them decades. And they finally got the recognition and the acceptance that they deserve. And you want to take it over to push a radical agenda, just like Joe Biden, just like Pete Buttigieg, just like Kamala Harris. You are no better. And the Satanic Club, I'll include you in that. You have no fucking business pushing your agenda on children. You got a problem with adults, take it up with adults. But since you can't, it tells me that you're not adults. You're scared people. No, you're not even people. You're scared pieces of shit. I am currently on a 7-day ban on Twitter, and I'll tell you why. I'm honest. I'm transparent. First of all, let me just thank our guests tonight. Our guest that talked about J6. June from the Satanic Club, I appreciate you coming on, and I appreciate you coming on. I'm going to disagree with you wholeheartedly, because I think it's sick what you're doing and your organization. And get right, because it's fucked up. and this is my final thoughts, and I don't give a fuck if you think that I'm being too harsh. I don't care. This is me. This is the raw Jeremy. When you attack children, it just pisses me the fuck off. And we wonder why is our society the way it is? Because of people like you. You can make it make sense in your head all fucking day long, but at the end of the day, it doesn't make sense, June. It doesn't make sense to the LGBTQ plus community, the transgender folks that are pushing a radical agenda, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and to everybody else pushing this bullshit. It's anti-God. And I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm holier than thou because I have sinned. I am a sinner. But I will tell you right now that I ask for forgiveness every day because I need it. I truly do. And that's not a lie. I don't hate you folks, but I want you to understand one thing. You are the destruction of our society. And it saddens me to say that because I don't want to see that from anybody. Our country deserves better. Our children deserve better. And, frankly, we all deserve better. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to say this. The Disrespected Trucker Radio Show started off nothing to what it has evolved to now. This is our 68th episode, I believe. We never envisioned this becoming what it is. But it's become something that was unseen. We didn't see it coming, basically. Now we have people on Twitter, on Facebook, on social media that have a very large following that are very influential. We have senators, we have congressmen. I mean, we had a congresswoman call in tonight, for Christ's sake. An amateur blog talk radio show is getting attention that is unadvertised, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. You might want to ask yourself why. Oh, because he's spreading us propaganda. They are spreading us propaganda. No. Maybe it has something to do with holy shit, somebody is able to spread us the truth without being censored by big tech or mainstream media or our government. Just so you know, we do get a warning on most of our links to our show claiming that we spread violent content. We don't spread violent content. We spread the truth. And we will continue to spread the truth. And I will not back down. And I'm pretty sure Chris won't, and Daryl won't, and Kim won't. We will continue this show for as long as it takes until we can fix this world. Not our countries, but this world. There's more of us than there are of them. And we can do this together. I'm not asking, I'm not telling you, I'm not saying anything about violence. What I am asking you is spread peace, spread love, and let's fix this everything. Let's fix everything so we can all live in peace. That's God-given freedom right there. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, you have a great night. God bless you, and we'll see you next week on the This Is Fucking Trucker Radio Show.